Welcome to another episode of Safety First. I'm Sabine Krümer from Corporate Comms at TÜV Süd. Today I have Sudhir Etiraj with me. He is Global Head of the Cybersecurity Office at TÜV Süd and we'll discuss the cybersecurity trends in 2022. Hi Sudhir.
Hi Sabine, thanks for having me on your podcast and I'm excited to be sharing the latest trends from our perspective with you.
Great. So there have been spectacular cyber attacks around the world in recent months. Not only the number of attacks, but also the damage they can cause continues to increase. Tech companies like Microsoft, pipeline operators, or even the government, no one is safe anymore. And working from home in the pandemic has definitely increased the attack surface for cyber criminals. Sudhir, as a global head of the cybersecurity office at TÜV Süd, you keep an eye on these developments. What cybersecurity trends will be important in the coming year?
So at TÜV Süd, we've identified five very important cybersecurity trends for the coming year, 2022. And the first one being cybercrime as a service. So we see that it's getting easier and more lucrative to run such businesses, including malware as a service, disinformation as a service, and things that can be bought on a marketplace in the darknet. And this can be bought for a license fee. This is done by sophisticated professionals who sell them as services, and companies or even individuals, private individuals, can buy them as a service. So this makes it more complicated and more challenging to tackle these cyber attacks because they're more sophisticated than ever and they're done by professionals and no longer by rookies sitting in a basement. So therefore, companies now and individuals as well need to respond proactively, upskill their employees to make sure that they're not just cyber aware, but also know how to respond when they have a cyber attack or how to see and proactively understand that this is a cyber attack, an attempt to steal my information, to tamper with my information. And this also means that the companies need to see cyber security as a business advantage and step up the investments in terms of employee training, new sophisticated trainings, and also improve the investments in terms of the security infrastructure as well.
So when ransomware is a business model itself, then there will be even more attacks, right? Because it's easier for any cyber attacker to get the right software or the right ransomware.
Yes, that's right. So with the recent ENISA threat report, they've just mentioned that they are identifying a new trend, which in 2021, we saw an increase in threat actors that are resorting to relatively new or uncommon programming languages to port their code. So these have become more and more prevalent, which means that they are getting more novel. So they're not reusing the same codes as malwares, rather they're using sophisticated codes. And this has a role with the marketplace and the growing demand for malware as a service, that the sophistication of the attacks have increased multifold.
Okay. So it's a business model, but still it's a crime.
Yes, that's for sure.
So I'm curious, what is trend number two?
Yeah, so this is something in lines of the perspective from a consumer's eyes. So I think we see that the consumers have becoming more and more aware of cybersecurity risks, especially with parents installing smart home devices for monitoring their children in the child room. And when they use IoT devices in other environments within their homes, like smart refrigerators. So people are asking for a symbol of trust, so to say, and identification that cybersecurity measures have been adopted by the manufacturer so that they can bring this device to their home environment. So we see that consumers are getting more and more aware. It depends from geography to geography, from country to country, on how this cybersecurity awareness and how the level of questioning goes. But in a sense, that people are getting more and more aware of the privacy aspects as well, that the data that they store is private, and also the security aspects that the device has only access to the things that it needs to have access to, and only the people authorized to have access to this data have access to this data, so that it doesn't, for example, it doesn't record a smart home device, it doesn't record voice or videos when it's not supposed to. And that's a simple fact. And consumers are getting more and more aware that the manufacturers need to showcase this capability and not just sell the device. So cybersecurity by default is now what consumers are looking for.
Mm-hmm. So consumers are more and more asking for cybersecurity, right? And the equipment manufacturers, they provide the security.
Absolutely, yes. So this is the trend. It's a growing trend. We see that it still has a room for growth. So in 2023, 2024, 2025, we will see countries coming up with trust labels. So we see that announcement from Germany that they are introducing trust labels for home routers and email services by end of this year. That's the plan. So we saw that from the recent BSI report. There is going to be a growing trend, and the trend is being sparked right now. So consumers are concerned about the IoT equipment, the smartwatches, the healthcare equipment that they're using at home, so that the cybersecurity is an integral part of these purchase decisions that they make.
Any other cybersecurity trends coming up? Like, for example, what's in regard to the supply chain?
Yeah, so this is from an industry perspective, very important. So we see now not just cyber threats, but supply chain is being a huge topic in the press everywhere. Every company is now struggling with this whole supply chain shortage, and countries are now coming up to solve this issue. And in the meantime, we've seen during the beginning of the year, attacks like the Sunburst SolarWinds, and we saw also the Kaseya attack, where cyber attackers have gone to target weaker links of the supply chain. So even if one of the links or one of the suppliers in the supply chain is a weak link from a cybersecurity perspective, the cyber attackers or the attackers have been motivated to keep them as a target, as an entry point to larger organizations and to disrupt the whole supply chain of large companies. It could be usually in terms of a third-party software developer that sends software, and they give regular updates to the software to the large companies that use the software in their environment. And in those updates, sometimes they are having malwares in them. So large companies have no visibility to see if this software update really is secure. And they, of course, can see if this came from the third-party software supplier. They can verify that. But they can't verify if the software update the software provider is giving to them is in any way secure. So in that way, it's very important to pick the supplier, give a helping hand, increase awareness, increase security measures at the supplier level. And this way, a large portion of the supply chain attacks can be mitigated or can be avoided. And one such example is the global cybersecurity industry consortium called the Charter of Trust, where we've been an active member as TÜV SÜD. And Charter of Trust has been taking this topic of supply chain security very seriously since the last 3.5 years. And we've put down 17 baseline requirements to help suppliers achieve the first basic step in terms of cybersecurity. So rather than throwing huge requirements at them, these requirements that we've put together come from different standards, so that in a way that they are upward compatible as well, so that the suppliers, when they are compliant or when they adopt these 17 absolute minimum baseline requirements in their environments, they could always switch or they could upgrade to an ISO 27001 or an IEC 62443 standard certification that would help them increase the security by a notch more.
You just mentioned standards, and from a global perspective, how can industry and the public sector protect themselves better?
So I think the standards are pretty much important, and they help in terms of baselining what we see from a cybersecurity standpoint. What are the minimum requirements that we need for the industry to follow? And we need to keep in consideration that the industry means not just large companies, but also medium-scale enterprises, but also very small companies. And standards, I would go even way beyond and say that standards are the backbone of cybersecurity. So that is a motto that needs to be implemented at an international and at the cross-border collaborative level, because cyber attackers don't look for geographical borders. Cybersecurity sees no geographical boundaries, and that should be the motto also for this standard. And that's why the key here is global harmonization of standards. So we need to work together And industry and public-private partnerships, so industry and lawmakers, must work together by establishing harmonized minimum requirements to deliver cybersecurity for products, services, and even organizations, right? And this uniform and valid cybersecurity requirements will enable a minimum level of security to be ensured across the globe. And of course, we can do more, but we need to first ensure that the first starting step is there. And one such example is we see that countries also share national infrastructure. For example, between the US and Canada, the electric sector, most of them, the infrastructure is being shared. So you can never ensure 100% security for these infrastructures. And I can give you much more examples across geographies where such railroad infrastructure, where this is shared between borders. So you need to work together to implement cybersecurity rather than having bordered, let's say, national cybersecurity requirements, of course, which are important, but they need to be aligned and harmonized with the global requirements as well.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting to hear about that. So there's another development or trend that you identified, which has to do with AI, artificial intelligence. AI, of course, plays an important role for companies to improve their cybersecurity, but also for the attackers to improve their attacks, right?
Exactly. So AI, there are two aspects to it, right? So we see it from a two-suit perspective. We see that AI and automation, this helps to optimize processes and analyze the data traffic. The one aspect is that the artificial intelligence could be used to secure your own infrastructure and your own organization. And of course, the same holds true for cyber attackers who use AI in turn to initiate and to conduct cyber attacks. So in a way, I can give you some examples on how companies can use AI to detect attacks. So we have usually in organizations a component of logging. So you see that people log the times that they come in and come out and what is being done with the devices that are in the network. And the other side, we also see that there is a regular monitoring of all the devices going in a network. And by methods of, for example, deep learning, we can analyze the user behavior or the device behavior. And if there is an anomaly, so for example, if an employee logs in at 4 a.m. instead of the usual 8 a.m. that he logs in and downloads a terabyte of files, and we also notice that he's probably going to resign or he's already resigned and he's leaving the company in 3 months, this could be a serious issue. This could be information theft. This could be, you name it, employee disgruntled employee doing something against the company. So this regular monitoring, and it's impossible for a human to track all the employee behavior at the same time. So an AI detecting and raising an alarm can help protect the companies. But on the other hand, we see that attackers also use AI. So in a way that they also improve the sophisticated algorithms, they have ways that they can spread disinformation and the ways that they also try to source information from open source information intelligence that they can gather. And they're not anymore relying just on the manual processes to analyze information about companies and persons that they want to target, but more the AI helps them target and give them a very detailed solution on how they can attack a target company. So this is one aspect. And the other aspect is protecting the AI itself. So the algorithm, the brain of the whole AI component, this needs to be protected. And where is all the data that you store for crunching and for all the numbers behind, where are these information stored? So the storage needs to be secure and the transit of this data also needs to be secure. So that needs to be encrypted. That also needs to make sure that all the confidentiality, integrity, and availability aspects are ensured, that the data is not being tampered with. So AI itself as a tool to secure infrastructure, but also to attack infrastructure, and AI itself with the data and the infrastructure in the backend needs to be secured in itself. So there's multiple facets to artificial intelligence and cybersecurity. And we see that there's an increasing trend, of course. And again, here is the need for digital trust when it comes to AI. When people are taking data to do analytics, that companies need to showcase and proof that they have done enough cybersecurity requirements, that they have implemented enough cybersecurity checks and privacy checks, that the consumer information or the information that the AI uses is secure in a way and not in the hands of the wrong people.
Thank you, Sudhir, for being our guest today and for explaining all the trends that you identified. Take care and stay safe.
Thank you for having me on your show. It was very exciting to discuss the trends with you, and I'm looking forward to a wonderful 2022 and a cybersecure 2022.